Let us continue to worship God.
Welcome and good morning. Let us prepare for our time of worship. God of transcending peace, when the world around us turns us astray, we come here not to escape, but to rest, rejoice, and turn our minds on things that are worthy. Help us not to be anxious about anything, but to turn to you in everything, knowing you are near. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Good morning and welcome again to all of you joining us in person, online, and over the airwaves. Wherever you are, we're so glad you're worshiping with us at Trinity this morning. For our listeners, please remember to visit our website where you can find the bulletin for today's worship service. This is under the worship tab, as well as our newsletter, which is under the media tab. If you haven't gone to look at it, the newsletter contains a lot of great information about what's going on in the church. So please go do check that one out. Our website address is www.trinitypreslbg.com. For our in-person congregation, please sign the attendance pads found in the pew pockets at the center end of each pew. Please pass the pad down to others sitting on the same pew so everyone can sign it. This month, we are collecting saltine crackers, boxes of Jiffy Mix, and canned meat with pop tops for church community services. The pop tops are so that a can opener is not needed to get to the food. So we're looking for the pop top type canned meat, crackers, and boxes of Jiffy Mix. If you would like to donate any of those, they can be left in the narthex and we will get them to church community. This month, we're doing an extra collection. We're doing a school supply drive for Sycamore Lane Primary School. This is located by Scotia Village. If you're not sure where it is the school that's right there by Scotia Village. If you are able and wish to, please help us by donating Lysol spray, Clorox wipes, pencils, erasers, dry erase markers, and student headphones. These are things that the teachers often end up having to purchase out of their own pockets, so let's help support the teachers by providing these things for them, and they can spend their money on other fun stuff, I guess, instead of the school supplies that they need. So that is Lysol spray, Clorox wipes. This time of year, lots of germs, we want to get rid of them. But then pencils, erasers, dry erase markers, or student headphones. Don't know if you all have students, but I know those headphones go missing about 200 times a year. So it's good for them to have a little bit of a supply to be able to replace those. There is a donation box in the narthex if you wish to donate any of those items. And another community announcement we have for today, the Scotland High Marching Band is selling mattresses. If anyone is interested or needs a new mattress and would like to purchase one from the marching band, there's a number of name brand types. I don't remember which ones, but there's a bunch of name brand types that are available. They will be at the Scotland High School new gym from 12 to 5 today. So you can go after church, get a new mattress. Tell them Casey Burt sent you, it's fine. They would love to see any and all participation. So if you've been looking for a mattress, go check them out and see if they can help you. While supporting the band, win-win, sleep better and the band is supported. For Trinity, we have purchased 20 Easter lilies to decorate the sanctuary next Sunday, make it look pretty for the Easter services. If you would like to purchase lilies in honor or memory of loved ones, please complete the order form. Looks like this, that's in the narthex today. Lilies are $8.50 each. Please memo your payment, lilies. And it has on here who you wish to purchase the lilies in honor or memory of. You can just fill that in on the form. Looking at this week's calendar on the back of your bulletin, we have a lot going on. A couple of weeks ago, we mentioned the fun, food, and fellowship available for the fellas in our audience. For our men's breakfast, that was a few weeks ago. Well, now it is the ladies' turn. Today, after the service, the ladies' book club will meet in the fellowship hall following worship. All ladies are invited for this fun food and fellowship, even if you have not read the book. So any and all ladies, please feel free to join us for that good time. It's always a great discussion, even if you didn't read the book, because I generally don't. And it's still fun, so please join us. Also, the Trinity Singers will rehearse on Tuesday evening at 5:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. The Laurinburg Presbyterian Church is hosting a community Monday-Thursday service this Thursday evening at 7 p.m. That's at the downtown Laurinburg Presbyterian Church, 7 p.m. if you wish to attend the Monday-Thursday service. Then the Laurinburg Movie Theater is offering a free movie for seniors 55 and older on Friday. They will show the movie Cocoon. Doors will open at 10 a.m. with the movie starting at 11. So if you are 55 or older, go enjoy a wonderful movie for free. I would suggest buying some popcorn, though. It is delicious there. They have the best popcorn. So go enjoy the movie, have some popcorn, some fun, Friday morning at 10. And then, open to everyone, young and those eligible to go watch the movie, we will host a Good Friday service here at Trinity, Friday at 7 p.m. It will be a, oh, how do you say it? Tenebrae and Tezé. Tenebrae and Tezé service, a service of growing darkness. We're starting at 7, so we can have the darkness growing throughout our entire ceremony. It should be absolutely beautiful. So please join us here at Trinity Friday at 7 p.m. for that. Then on Saturday, everyone is invited to our monthly prayer meeting here in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. If you have joys or concerns that you would like us to pray for during that meeting, please feel free to fill in the orange, I guess you would call it, orange card in the back of the pews, put them in the offering plate, and then we will know to pray for your joys or concerns. There is a little sticker on there. We do broadcast over the radio, so if you have some you'd like to send in and make sure that we pray for you privately without broadcasting it on the radio, please just mark there whether yes or no you'd like us to express your joys or concerns to everyone. We are happy to keep them private. Looking ahead to next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we'll have adult Sunday school, middle school Sunday school, and pre-worship singing, so a big full service for Easter morning. We will also take communion, and receive the One Great Hour of Sharing special offering. This is a Presbytery-sponsored special offering, and it provides our brothers and sisters relief from natural disasters, food for the hungry, and support for the poor and oppressed. There will be special envelopes in next Sunday's bulletin if you wish to donate to that extra special offering. Today, we finally made it to today, guys. Today, we welcome back Scott Miller in the pulpit, shortly, I see him, and Thomas Dayton on the piano, and then the Trinity Singers in the choir loft for some extra special music for everyone this morning. Thank you all for making our worship special and meaningful. And now it's time to pass the peace of Christ. If you are listening remotely, you can text three people with the peace of Christ be with you. If you receive this text, even in the sanctuary, although we don't normally say to look at your phones, you can respond with "and also with you" if somebody texts you. Here in the sanctuary, we will stand and wave to one another to keep those germs to ourselves, and then we'll remain standing for the call to worship. So let's pass the peace of Christ and have the procession of palms. See them. That was beautiful. All right, let's join in our call to worship as printed in the bulletin. I will read the light print. Everyone, please join in on the dark print. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Lo, your king comes to you.
Triumphant and victorious is he.
Humble and riding on a donkey.
On a colt, the foal of a donkey.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Our first hymn this morning is Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Hymn number 89. The words will also be projected on the screen.
Thank you.
Let us come together for a moment of confession. Imagine Jesus entering our presence just as he entered Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. Envision the palm branches, the donkey, the shouts of Hosanna. Understanding who he is and knowing who we are, let us pray. Please join in the prayer of confession as printed in your bulletin. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained, and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We will now have a moment of silence for personal confession.
Amen. You are holy, God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He took upon himself the weight of our sin and carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way, and though tempted, was sinless to the end. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Seated. We now invite our young people, or just those who are young at heart, forward for our time of young disciples with Shannon Hamilton.
Good morning, everyone. This is a wonderful lesson for the young and old. This is called a set of resurrection eggs, and this is going to walk us through Holy Week. So parents, grandparents, you can make these at home. Students, you can make these at home, because it's very important that we not skip from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. We need to live each day of this week. So in our first egg, we have palms. This is a very easy symbol for us today because it is Palm Sunday, and it reminds us when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a colt. The second egg contains a piece of bread. Communion, where the Lord shared the Last Supper with his disciples. The next egg contains three coins. Judas betrayed Jesus and was paid 30 pieces of silver. The next egg contains a piece of yarn. This symbolizes a big, strong rope that they used to flog Jesus or beat him. This next egg contains some feathers. This reminds us of a rooster that crowed three times and Peter denied Jesus. The next egg contains Can you see it? It's a thorn. Exactly. Referencing the thorn of crowns that was put on Jesus' head. Our next egg contains one nail. Exactly. He was nailed to the cross. Our next egg contains a cross to remind us of the cross where Jesus died for us. The next egg smells like vinegar. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and he was thirsty, they put a sponge full of vinegar up to his mouth to let him suck on that. Jesse, will you open that egg? It opens sideways for me. I can't get it with, yeah, I might go over. So this egg contains some cloves to remind us that when Jesus was buried, they used cloves to preserve his body, almost like a mummy. And our last egg for today contains a stone, because Jesus was put in the tomb and the stone was rolled over the opening of the tomb. So, like I said in the beginning, it's very important for us to remember all the things that Jesus went through this week for us. And today is called Palm Sunday, but it's also referred to as the Passion, because we can't jump from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday without remembering the Passion and everything that Jesus went through for us. And I learned in studying about Passion Sunday, because when I was growing up, I never heard that term, Passion Sunday. So I looked it up, and Passion comes from the Latin word patti or patti, which means to endure or to suffer. So we can't skip over the fact that Jesus, what he endured for us and what he suffered for us. So while we all look forward to Easter, let's remember and let's do devotionals this week that remind us of everything that Jesus had to get through, or that everything that he went through in order for us to celebrate Easter. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the joy of Easter, but we thank you for all that you went through for us. Help us to remember all that you endured and all that you suffered for us, and then celebrate the joy of your resurrection. It's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
Shannon, thank you so much for that meaningful and powerful message. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as thy word is read and proclaimed, help us to open our hearts and minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. Amen. Our first scripture lesson comes to us from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 2, and then 19 through 29. Please listen to and for the word of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it in this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, let us join the festal procession up in the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Our gospel lesson today comes to us from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Again, please listen to and for the word of God. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. While others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, the crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna in the name of David, the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you all ever heard the expression, and perhaps you've used it, the best laid plans of mice and men? You familiar with that? Perhaps surprisingly, this phrase, the best laid plans of mice and men, really does not come from the literary classic of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, you should. But it is the title of Mice and Men. But this expression rather is derived from a poem by the famous Scottish poet Robert Burns, written in 1785. The poem is about a mouse that builds a nest in his home for the future, only to be met with disaster, and having all of its plans amount to nothing due to extenuating circumstances. In the poem, To a Mouse, Burns wrote, "The best laid schemes of mice and men gang aft agley." When this is translated to the modern English, it becomes, "The best laid plans of mice and men can still go wrong." So, to sum it up, "The best laid plans of mice and men" is a partial idiom derived from a poem by Robert Burns in the 1700s. The phrase refers to how, no matter how well you plan and prepare for something, something can go wrong unexpectedly at any point in time. This theme was used in Steinbeck's novel of Mice and Men. Have you all ever had a plan for something, a project that you spent a lot of time on? Perhaps it was in your younger years when you helped your child with a school project. Or perhaps it was recently when you helped a grandchild with the science project. Or maybe it was a family vacation, a getaway where everybody had saved their money to go. How did that turn out? Just exactly as you had planned? Okay, did anything happen that affected the outcome? Adjustments were made, right? We, our family, had gone down to Ocean Isle one summer for the week of July 4th, as was our tradition. The Moore sisters, Susan, Karen, and Ann, and husbands, as well as children, all together for that 1 week at Ocean Isle. A large time was planned. Included in those plans was fireworks. It was July 4th, after all. Charles Clifford and I had gone to buy the fireworks, and a large fireworks display was planned. We started shooting them off, and things were going along just fine for a few minutes. Did I mention that fireworks are illegal in Ocean Isle? So, when the police officer arrived, he explained to us we could either give him the fireworks and get a warning or continue and be arrested. So we decided on option number one. We had a great plan for the night, but someone else had a different plan for us. Those who make plans sometimes have to take a lot of things into consideration. As we come to Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphant ride into Jerusalem, we must consider whose plan we're really talking about here. Three of the Gospels make it seem as if Jesus only came into Jerusalem this one time, while Mark says that Jesus was a frequent visitor to the city. It doesn't really make that much difference, does it? Matthew, Luke, and John concentrate on Jesus' ministry in Galilee, while Mark reports on Jesus' ministry in and around Judea. Each gospel tries to tell the stories of Jesus in their own way, and so we are fortunate enough to get a composite picture of what Jesus was like in his life by reading the different gospels. There is the close friendship of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus that we talked about last week, which speaks of many visits to Jerusalem. There is the fact that Joseph of Arimathea was a secret friend of Jesus. And also, Jesus says that in Matthew chapter 23, that he often would have gathered together the people of Jerusalem as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but they would not. Jesus could not have used that phrase unless prior to it there had been more than several appearances in that cold response by the people of that area. Now, this in fact explains the incident with the colt. Jesus did not leave things until the last moment. He knew what he was going to do. He had a plan. Long ago, he had arranged with a friend what he was going to do. And when he sent the disciples to get the colt, he sent them with a password that had been prearranged. The Lord needs it now. This was not a sudden, reckless decision of Jesus. It was something to which his whole life had been building up. The prophets of Israel had always had a very distinctive way of getting their message across. When words failed to move people, they did something dramatic, as if to say, if you will not hear, then you must be compelled to see. This comes to us from 1 Kings. These dramatic actions were what we might call acted warnings or dramatic sermons. This is what Jesus is doing here. Jesus' actions were described as a dramatic claim to be the Messiah. Jesus was using the words the people already knew as further proof of his claim. It was part of his plan. From Zechariah chapter 9, we hear, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass." A colt, the foal of an ass. The main point is that the king was coming in peace. In Palestine, the ass was not a despised beast. The ass was a noble beast. When a king went to war, he rode on a horse. When he came in peace, he rode on an ass. You see, Jesus knew this very well, as did the people of his time. G.K. Chesterton had a poem in which he makes the modern donkey speak. Please listen to the donkey as I read. When fishes flew and forests walked and figs grew upon thorn. Some moment when the moon was blood, then surely I was born. With monstrous head and sickening cry and ears like errant wings, the devil's walking parody of all four-footed things, the tattered outlaw of the earth, of ancient crooked will, starve, scourge, deride me, I am dumb, I keep my secret still. Fools, for I had my hour, one far, fierce hour and sweet. There was a shout about my ears and palms before my feet. You see, this is a wonderful poem. Nowadays, the ass is a beast we look upon, sometimes with amusement, sometimes with ridicule. But in the time of Jesus, it was a beast of kings. But now, we must look at what kind of king Jesus was claiming to be. He came meek and lowly. He came in peace and for peace. They greeted him as the son of David, but they did not understand. In the Hebrew poems, the Psalm of Solomon, they represent the king of the son of David whom people expected. Here is their description of him. Behold, O Lord, rise us up into their king, the son of David, at the time in which thou seest, O God, that he may reign over Israel, thy servant, and guard him with strength, that he may shatter unrighteous rulers, and that he may purge Jerusalem from nations that triumph down to destruction. Wisely, righteously, he shall thrust out sinners from the inheritance. He shall destroy the pride of sinners as a potter's vessel. With a rod of iron he shall break in pieces all their substance. He shall destroy the godless nations with words of his mouth. At his rebuke, nations shall flee before him, and he shall reprove sinners from the thoughts of their hearts. All nations shall be in fear before him, for he will smite the earth with the words of his mouth forever. As I read this passage, can you see how the Jewish people had a plan? This is who they expected to come and save them. The whole picture is a picture of a populace who misunderstood. It shows a crowd of people thinking of kingship in terms of a conquest in which they had thought of for so long. It was oddly reminiscent of how Simon Maccabeus entered into Jerusalem 150 years before, after he had defeated Israel's enemies in battle. From Maccabees chapter 13, it says, "And he entered with thanksgiving and branches of palm trees, and with harps and cymbals and vials and hymns and songs, because there was destroyed a great enemy out of Israel." It was a conqueror's welcome that they sought to give Jesus, but they never dreamed of the kind of conqueror he wished to be. The very shouts from the crowd raised to Jesus show how their thoughts were running. When they spread their garments on the ground before Jesus, they did exactly what the crowds did when that man of blood, Jehu, was anointed king, Maccabeus. They shouted, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." That's a quote from Psalm 118. William Barclay suggests that it should really be read a little differently. Blessed in the name of the Lord is he who comes. Do you notice the difference? He goes on to say that there are three ideas which we need to consider about this passage and the shouts. It was a regular greeting with which pilgrims were addressed when they reached the temple on the occasion of the great feasts. Also, that he that cometh was another name for the Messiah. When the Jews spoke about the Messiah, they talked about him as the one who is coming. And in all probability, from Psalm 118, it was written and composed to commemorate that great day of purification of the temple and the battle which Judas Maccabeus had won. It was indeed a conqueror's psalm. Again and again, we see the same thing happening in the whole incident. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, but he had done it in such a way to show that the popular ideas of the Messiah and who and how he should be were misguided and wrong. But the people did not see it. You see, they had a plan. They knew what they had read. They knew what their history was and how the Messiah was to be. Their whole welcome of Jesus, which befitted not the King of Love, but the conqueror who would shatter the enemies of Israel. In verses 9 and 10, there was a word which we know as Hosanna. But that word is consistently misunderstood. It is quoted and used as if it means praise. Its simple translation in Hebrew means save now. In Samuel and Kings, it is used by the people to appeal to the king, seeking help and protection. When the people shouted Hosanna to Jesus, it was not a cry of praise to Jesus, but more of a cry to God to break in and save them now. The bystanders also working around who were there said, okay, so this is the Messiah? Then let's see him save his people now, himself. Prove it. Do some miracle. But this is not the way it is not in any way to degrade the word that we use and the connotation that we attach to it. I mentioned it because I want you to understand what it was like to be there that day and the history of what brought them to that point. The ironic thing is about this day is that Jesus wasn't the only one coming into town. Two processions entered Jerusalem that day, the spring day in the year 30. It was the beginning of the week of Passover, the most sacred week of the Jewish year. One was a peasant procession, the other an imperial procession. From the east, Judas rode a donkey from the Mount of Olives, cheered by his followers. Jesus from the peasant village of Nazareth. His message was about the kingdom of God, and his followers came from the peasant class. On the opposite side of the city, from the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria, entered Jerusalem at the head of a column of the imperial army and soldiers. Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God. Pilate's procession, the power of the empire. Pilate's military procession was a demonstration of both Roman imperial power and Roman imperial theology. There is no incident which shows the sheer courage of Jesus as this does. In the circumstances, one might expect him to enter Jerusalem secretly and keep hidden from the authorities who were out to destroy him. Instead, he enters in such a way that the attention of every eye is upon him. One of the most dangerous things a person can do is to go to people and tell them that their accepted ways of doing, thinking, and acting were wrong. Anyone who tries to tear up the roots of people's irrational ideas and nationalistic ideals is in for trouble. But that is exactly what Jesus is deliberately doing, making a last appeal for and making it with courage for love. That is heroic. Jesus had a plan all along, and this week is bringing to the forefront of all that his life and has his plans for us. Are we working our own plan, or have we yielded to the plan that Jesus has for us? Amen.
And now, in response to God's word, let us stand as we are able and boldly proclaim what we believe using the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And now let us return a portion of all that God has given us as we receive this morning's offering to the tune of some beautiful music and flute. No flute. Beautiful music from the Trinity Singers.
Please remain standing as we pray our prayer of dedication as printed in our bulletin. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to render to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you, not with our lips only, but with our whole lives, turning the duties, the sorrows, and the joys of all our days into a living sacrifice to you, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
And now we have an opportunity to bring before God all of our cares and our concerns. We bring them and we lay them at the foot of the cross, for we know that God knows all of them before we mention them out loud. But it's because of our relationship with God that we are able to bring him in this conversation. Let us join our hearts and then our voices together as we pray. Let us pray. O good and gracious God, we thank you for calling us here this day, for the very breath that you place within our bodies, the life that you give us, your presence with us in each and every moment of our days, in our times of joy and in our times of sorrow, in our times of peace and in our times of trial. We thank you for your presence with us, for your spirit that is within us, for your people here that gather together, that we might together join our voices and sing and praise to you, that we might worship you in heart and mind and spirit, that we might know your presence here among us. We thank you for these gifts. And we come before you today with all of the cares and concerns on our hearts, in our minds, in our very bodies. We bring before you this world that is so often filled with brokenness, brokenness of system, brokenness of spirit, brokenness of the world and the environment. We pray for those who have struggled with fire or with flood or with the world that moves under their feet, that you would give them the strength to recover, that you would help your presence be among them, that they would know you and that you would help others be able to help in whatever way they can. We pray for this, our nation, that is so frequently filled with brokenness and division. We pray that you would heal any hatred that is there, that you would work toward wholeness, that we might be able to love and care for one another. We pray for this, our community and this congregation, for those who are suffering with illness, who are struggling after surgery, or who are struggling with terminal illness. We pray that you would be with them, that they would feel your healing power in whatever way is possible, that you would give your peace that passes all understanding, and that you would be able to work through us, that we would be able to show your love, that you would be able to help us to be your hands and feet in this world, in this community, that we might be able to show your love to all your people, that you would especially be with us individually during this Holy Week, that we would be able to really immerse ourselves into the stories and know the strength and the power of all that happens, that we might be able to come back here next week with whole spirits to rejoice in the resurrection after knowing all that was given. And we pray that you would be with us all, with the things on our hearts and minds that we have not lifted up out loud, but that we know that you know, for you know every hair on our head. And we pray these things using the words that your Son gave his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us stand and join our voices together as we sing hymn number 35, What Wondrous Love Is This? in your bulletin, in the hymnal, or on the screens.
As you leave from this place, or perhaps turn off your radio and return to your everyday lives, I would ask you to think about the fact that Christ has a plan for you, for your life. Stop working your own plan and follow Jesus' plan for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen. Please be seated.